Chapter 9. So when news reached Demetrius that Nicanor and his force had fallen in war, he sent Bacchides and Eliakim into the land of Judah a second time, along with the right wing of his army. And they took the road to Galilee and encamped opposite the ascent at Arbel. They captured it and destroyed the souls of many men. And in the year 152, in the first month, they encamped against Jerusalem. Then they marched off and went to Beer-Zaith with 20,000 men and 2,000 cavalry. And Judah, with 3,000 picked men, was encamped at Elasah. And when his men saw the multitude of the enemy forces, they feared them very much, and many slipped away from the camp, until no more than 800 men remained. So when Judah saw that his camp was slipping away, and that the war was imminent, he was crushed in his heart, because he had no opportunity to gather them together. And he was unstrung, but said to those who remained,
"Let us go forward to meet our enemies. Perhaps we can put up a good fight against them."
And they tried to dissuade him, saying,
"We are certainly not able to. Instead, let us save our souls now and come back with our brothers, and then make war against them. Now we are too few."
And Judah said,
"Far be it from me to do such a thing as to flee from them. If our time has come, let us die bravely for our kinsmen, and not leave a stain upon our glory."
Then Bacchides' force moved out of camp and took its position for meeting them in battle. So the cavalry were divided into two squadrons, and the slingers and the archers went on ahead of the force, and all the mighty men were in the front line. But Bacchides was on the right wing, and flanked by the two squadrons, the phalanx attacked as they sounded their trumpets. And those who were on Judah's side also signaled their trumpets. So the earth shook with the noise of the camps, and the war raged from morning until evening. And seeing that Bacchides and the main force of his camps were on the right side, Judah, with all the men who had the most courageous hearts rallying to him, crushed the right wing and drove them away as far as the mountain slopes. And when the men on the left wing saw that the right wing was crushed, they turned and followed Judah and his men and took them in the rear. And the war was burdensome, and many on both sides were wounded and fell. Then Judah fell, and the rest fled. So Jonathan and Simon took their brother Judah and buried him in the tomb of their fathers at Modium. and they bewailed him. And all Israel made great lamentation for him, and mourned many days, and said,
"How the Mighty One has fallen, the Savior of Israel."
And the rest of the accounts of Judah, and his wars, and the manly deeds which he performed, and his greatness, have not been recorded, for they were very many. So after the death of Judah, the lawless ones peeped out from every part of Israel, and all the workers of unrighteousness rose up. In those days, there was a very great famine, and the country deserted to the lawless men. And Bacchides chose the impious men and made them lords of the country. And these sought out and hunted down Judah's friends and brought them to Bacchides. And he took vengeance on them and mocked them. And there had not been such a great tribulation in Israel since the time prophets ceased to appear among the people. Then all of Judah's friends gathered together and said to Jonathan,
"Since your brother Judah has come to his end, there has been no man like him to go out and move against our enemies, and Bacchides, and those who are hostile to our nation. Now therefore, we have chosen you today to be our chief and commander in his place to fight our battle."
So from that moment, Jonathan accepted the command and took the place of his brother Judah. And when Bacchides learned about this, he sought to kill him. And Jonathan and his brother Simon and everyone who were with him learned about this. And they fled to the Tekoa desert and encamped by the waters of the Asphar pool. And Bacchides learned about this on the day of the Sabbaths, and he, with all his army, crossed over the Jordan. And Jonathan sent off his brother as commander of the convoy, and begged the Nabateans, who were his friends, for permission to deposit with them the great quantity of baggage which they had. And the sons of Yambri from Medabah made a raid and seized and carried off Yohanan and everything he had and departed with it. After this, a message of this account was brought to Jonathan and his brother Simon.
"The sons of Yambri are celebrating a great wedding, and with a large escort they are bringing the bride, a daughter of one of the great princes of Canaan, from Naboth."
And remembering the blood of their brother Yohanan, they went up and hid themselves under cover of the mountain. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, there was a noisy crowd with baggage. And the bridegroom, along with his friends and brothers, had come out to meet the bride's party with timpanis and musicians and many implements. So the Judeans rose up against them from their ambush and killed them. And many fell wounded, and the survivors fled into the mountain. And the Judeans took all their spoils. So this was how the wedding was turned into mourning, and the sound of musicians into lamentation. And having fully avenged the blood of their brother, the Judeans returned to the marsh meadows of the Jordan. And when Bacchides heard about this, he came on the day of the Sabbaths to the banks of the Jordan with a large force. Then Jonathan said to his companions,
"Let us rise up now and wage war for our souls, for today is not like yesterday and the day before. For behold, the war is before us, and behind us are the waters of the Jordan on one side, and marsh meadows and thickets on the other, and there is no way of escape. Now therefore, cry out into the heaven, that all of you might be saved from the hands of your enemies."
And they joined together in the war. And Jonathan extended his hand to strike Bacchides. But Bacchides, evading him, backed away. And Jonathan and his companions jumped into the Jordan and swam across to the other side. And the enemy did not pass over the Jordan against them. But on that day, about 1,000 of Bacchides' men fell. So upon returning to Jerusalem, Bacchides built strong cities in Judah, the stronghold in Jericho, as well as Hamat, and Beth Horon, and Bethel, and Timnah, and Pirathon, in Tapua, with high walls and gates and bars. And in each one, he stationed a garrison to be hostile to Israel. And he fortified the city of Beth Zur and Gezer in the citadel, and put forces in them and supplies of foods. And he took the sons of the commanders of the country as hostages, and put them under guard in the citadel of Jerusalem. And in the year 153, in the second month, Eliakim ordered the wall of the interior holy places to be torn down. So he tore down the work of the prophets, but he only began to tear it down. For at that very time, he had a stroke, and his work was interrupted. And his mouth was closed, and he was paralyzed, so that he could no longer speak a word or give instructions concerning his house. And at that time, he died under great torture. So when Bacchides saw that Eliakim was dead, he returned to the king, and the land of Judah rested for 2 years. Then all the lawless ones took counsel, saying,
"Jonathan and his companions are living in rest and security. Now, therefore, let us bring Bacchides back, and he will seize all of them in a single night."
So they went and counseled him to do this. And when Bacchides was setting out with a large force, he secretly sent letters to all his allies in Judah, telling them to seize Jonathan and his companions. But they were not able to do this, because their counsel became known. and Jonathan's men seized about 50 of the men of the country who were instigators in this evil and killed them. Then, Jonathan and Simon and their companions withdrew to Beth Bassa in the desert, and they rebuilt the parts of it which had been torn down, and they strengthened it. So when Bacchides learned about this, he gathered together his whole multitude and transmitted a message to those who were in Judah. Then he came and encamped against Beth Bassa, and he made war against it for many days and constructed machines. And Jonathan left his brother Simon in the city, and going out with a small number of men, he went out into the country. And he struck down Hodumerah and his brothers and the sons of Phasiron in their tents. Then he and his companions began to strike them and to go up with their forces. Then he sallied forth from the city and set fire to the machines. Then they fought against Bacchides, and he was crushed by them. And this caused him great distress, because his counsel had come to nothing. And he was angered in fury with the lawless men who had counseled him to invade the country. So he killed many of them and took counsel on returning to his own land. And when Jonathan discovered this, he sent elders to make peace with him and to obtain the release of the prisoners. And he agreed and acted according to what Jonathan had said. And he swore an oath to him that he would never try to injure him for the rest of his life. And he released the prisoners whom he had previously taken from the land of Judah. Then he returned to his own country and never came within their borders again. So the longsword ceased in Israel, and Jonathan settled in Michmash, and he began to judge the people, and he destroyed the impious in Israel.